Right, so we are here tonight with Noel Clark, enjoying the festivities at Elihu.
Hello.
So, all right, when...
Are you going to tell him we were being naughty before we started?
Oh, that's all going in.
Okay, Okay, sorry, go ahead.
All right, so when you joined the show, I know you were working on another project that kept you from getting there early on with everybody else.
Yeah.
So you basically just showed up and got thrown into it.
Yes.
How do you think that your performance would have changed had you been able to be there and actually rehearse with everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this, obviously not to you, but I've said it loads of times. I mean, it was, they had actually changed the schedule for me. They actually shifted the first two weeks around so that I could do it. And, you know, like I've said in the interviews I was thrown in, I think, obviously, you know, the performance would have been much, much better. And I've said publicly many times that I think I was terrible in the first season, especially those first three, well, mainly those first three episodes. The interesting thing was, and I was saying that to someone, is those three episodes, which were episodes actually 1, 4, and 5, because Are You My Mummy stuff, Silent, no, what was it called? Are You My Mummy? The two.
The Duck
Dances. And
The Empty Child.
Empty Child, that's right. So those were like 3 and 4. And then we come back for Aliens of London, World War III, and then Daleks, number 6, right? So, but 1, 4, and 5 were filmed first. That whole block was filmed first.
Okay.
And you have Autons, Plastic Mickey. You have the Slovene. Blah, blah, blah. And it's a very different tone. You look at Empty Child and Dr. Dances, different tone. You look at Dalek at number 6, different tone. But that's because that block was filmed first. I feel like the Rose, take Rose from Dalek, there's no way that Rose looks at Auton Mickey and doesn't realize he's an Auton. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her eyes have been opened at that point,
yeah. Well, I'm just, even just because of the tone of the show was a bit different, it's like you would just like,
expect her to pick it up,
You expect her to pick up, like, I just left you in the car, I've come back, and you're shining. And you're saying Pepita, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like the tone shifted, and there's no way that Rose doesn't see that. But because we were kind of finding our feet as a show, you know, you have this sort of tone with Slovene and Auton Mickey, and I'm the comic relief, so I come straight off the plane from Thailand, and they're like, this is the tone of the show, you're the comic relief, so I'm just like buffoonery. It's just buffoonery. And so then, of course, we get Dalek, we get the rest of the episodes, and we're like, the tone shifts. It becomes a darker show,
right,
which set the tone for the future. By the time I come back in Boomtown, I'm aware of it, and there's a marked difference in the performance, and you can clearly, like, everyone clearly sees that. And that's kind of the first beginning of the shift that eventually goes where it goes. And also, behind the scenes, Russell was saying to me that he, you know, in his genius, he was like, I'm going to start changing the character so he suits your personality more. Because, I mean, obviously none of us are our characters, but I'm a lot closer to End Mickey in real life than Buffoon Mickey. So I think the combination of the tone being where it was and me being the comic relief in that tone, to Russell's genius of writing it more to suit me, ends up, fortunately, with an amazing arc that goes from complete Shaggy from Scooby-Doo to like Hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess had I had rehearsed and had we all had more time and the tone of those three wasn't like that, then possibly the arc is not as big. And possibly we don't all sit here going, man, what an amazing arc.
Yeah.
Because he kind of goes... as opposed to, you know?
Right. So, all right, now you're doing a lot of directorial stuff now, and you've recently put out Kidulthood and Adulthood, and you're getting ready to finish off that trilogy with Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I mean, it's just 10 years in the making. Like, you know, in the 10 years since the last two films, I've had 3 children. I'm grown up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to believe I could do 30 minutes. Now I can do 30 minutes. You know what I mean? You guys won't get that, but they get it. But you know what I mean? Like, you grow up. And so taking that character, I don't know if you've seen the films, but taking that guy who did what he did in the first film, served his time, came out and was finding his feet and going, well, in real life, I'm here. What if you give that guy a kid? Like, where is he at in his life? And just throwing him in that situation. And that's kind of where the story came from, and that's kind of where the idea came from. And Lionsgate read it. They were like, yeah, we want to go with this. Next year's the 10-year anniversary. So here we are. I've written it. It's shooting.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see that one and see how it wraps up.
Yeah. I have the script up there. No, wait. I do, but you can't read it. Yeah.
Well, we'll see how many drinks we can get into tonight what we may have.
I'm pretty straight.
Yeah, he runs clean.
Out of luck. Yeah, you might be out of luck with that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Cheers.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.